come on up, and I will get out of the way.
It's so good to be here today. We met this church about, well, actually, in 1978, I came first here when missionary David
It's so nice to be with you all. He's going to have to sit down. There you go. This evening, and let you know a little bit about what's going on where we are right now. As Pastor Poehler said, when we left the school here at Brandon, it was 2007, and you were already supporting us, as far as I remember. So it's been about 20 years that we have had this wonderful relationship with you, and we thank you so much. And when we left the school at that time, we'd already been married 20 years, but we started a new ministry on the border of Mexico, and we were there for a time, and then we went down into Monterrey and worked there for a few years. And then Juan felt called to go further south to Tantoyuca, Veracruz, where we are now. And for you to get an idea of where Tantoyuca is, if you followed the last storm, which was Alberto, it hit just a little bit north of us, okay? So it's south of the border on the Gulf Coast, a little bit in the path of the hurricane, which was just a tropical storm. And now Beryl is coming in, and she's going to hit right there, just a little bit north of us. So you know basically where we are.
Texas.
It's going to hit Texas, but we're just a little bit south of the border on the Gulf Coast. And so we're very happy that we did get rain because we'd been in a drought for about 3 years and the rivers had dried up. But Alberto brought us some well-needed rain. But anyway, we've been there now for 10 years this summer. And we started with a group of two. And two ladies who had been faithful. The church that had been there had dissolved. And so there were two ladies. And we praise God. We've baptized 69 people in the 10 years that we've been there. Everyone in the congregation is a new believer. They don't come from Christian homes. And so that is a challenge. It's a challenge to work with those who know nothing of the gospel, nothing of what how a church functions and all, but we are blessed to have a good group of about 50 that are consistent in church. And God has allowed, and Juan will talk a little bit about it, has allowed us to start two missions, and we're working with two others, so we have four missions we're working with, and that keeps us busy. Juan and I go to two of them pretty consistently, so we go to church a lot. Anyway, it is a blessing. And we just want to let you know that this year, in our last year, better said, the church was organized as a church. It had been a mission, and last year around Easter, we organized as a church, and so we've been organized for a year. And this year we had our first anniversary, and we had a special meetings, and we had 15 baptisms when the meetings were over. So we're blessed to have those 15, and we have a list of about 8 who are ready for baptisms for the summer. Now, we do baptize in the river, and so we're always hoping for good water. In Easter, it was a little low. It was really low. But the rains have come, and so now we've got water. Now we can dunk them really easy. We don't have to go so far in, and this will be good. And the waters will be clear and clean. And so that's been a blessing this year. Vacation Bible School will be when we get back, And we're expecting between 80, probably 80 or 90 kids to come in. We're bringing in the mission kids as well, and helping the missions to get a feel of what it is to do and how to do it, so that maybe next year they can do it on their own. And so pray for us as we do that. Last year we had about 80 kids and at VBS, which was pretty challenging. And as you see the pictures in the back, you'll notice that our building is a building without walls, truly a church without walls. And so when the heat comes, it comes full blast. And so you can just imagine, you know, being out in church at 100, 110 degrees and having 80 kids running around. It's pretty dynamic. And so just pray for us as we're working for that. And we started a new challenge in September with an institute. We started an institute, a Bible institute. At the beginning, we had a lot of people excited, and we had 22 students, and they were coming faithfully until they had homework to do. And they had to read the Bible, and they had to do other things, and they kind of petered out. But so this semester, we've had 11 that ended up being faithful. The others kind of just said it was too much for them. And so we have 11 students in the second semester. We're hoping once we start the third semester in September, we'll at least have those 11. We'll see if anybody else thought it was too much homework. But, you know, it's hard when you're an adult to go back to school. Honestly, it's hard. But when you didn't go to high school and you didn't, you know, get higher education, it's even harder. So many of our people struggle. But, hey, the Bible is what we teach, and we need to know it. And we say we believe it, we might as well learn it. And so we're excited about that. The first semester, Juan taught the life of Christ and how to understand the Bible. And I taught Bible survey, New Testament survey, and music. And that's another challenge. Because there is not, for some reason, in the city itself is very musical. The worship folklore. For their folklore and for the worship of their idols. That's music, okay? But when it came into this church setting, there is no inclination for music talent. So it's something that we're really praying for. There's just no knowledge, it just doesn't set in. So music was very challenging. And but we did it, and the men began to understand that music is part of our worship, and it's part of what the Bible really pushed in the Old Testament. And when they started learning that a lot of these things were already in the Bible, they thought we were inventing them. And they said, you know, wow, this is in the Bible. Yeah, music's in the Bible, and it's really important. So we're working on that. And this semester we'll continue with Bible doctrines and theology and Bible survey, Old Testament. That's going to be fun. And so just pray for us as we're doing this other new work and as we work in the missions. And then Juan has a ministry also in Monterey. So we are about a 9-hour drive from Monterey, but every couple months Juan goes to Monterey to teach pastors. And he has about 12 pastors that that get together with him every 2 months. And it's a training helping them be better leaders. And so this has been quite a blessing to many of them. I've been impressed at the growth that some of the men have had, because they said, oh, we didn't know that leadership meant this. And so they're growing, and they are becoming, in our eyes, better pastors, better leaders in their churches. Important. And so, yeah, they do a lot of work on how to build a team to lead the church. So it's been quite a blessing. But thank you so much for your prayers. Thank you so much for your support. You have been so faithful to us and, of course, to our Lord. And we thank you so much. And may God bless you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I have a question.
Yes.
As far as your safety, is that an issue much where you are?
It was when we first went. It was a little bit rougher, and then things got better. Right now, things are getting worse. But it's because it's politics. Our president has communist tendencies, socialist communist tendencies.
Are you taping this?
Yeah. You're right. No. I'm not even a Mexican citizen. I don't care. I don't vote. But the new president that's coming in, which will be our first woman president, she is a strict follower of his. And so she will implement even more communist tendencies. And it's going to get rough. It's going to get rough. And we strongly believe that it's a cartel government anyway. So cartel is having its way around the country again. And there are hot spots. Right now we're not in one, praise God. But we do travel only in the daytime. And we don't go by ourselves. You know, we do certain things that we hope that are smart. And we have our plan. But it is what it is. And we'll see what God has for Mexico. But we believe that this will bring a spiritual revival because many are going to feel that need to have something they can trust in someone. And it's definitely not the government. Not now. Any other questions? No? Please. Can you put it there?
Okay.
You can look at our pictures afterwards and we'll talk about it. Thank you.
Yeah, any questions you could ask us afterwards? Well, thank you. I want to also forgive my English. I'm too rough. I want to also include that in our institute, we have three pastors. I don't know how, but this has happened in my ministry, in our ministry. Somehow pastors come close to me and ask me, you know, hey, would you teach us? Because they have no training in pastoring. They may be good preachers, but they don't know how to pastor. That's a tough job. And I got a call from God to teach young and new pastors. And so it's every 3 months, every 2 months, that I go to Monterey and get together with the pastors and teach. So that's what. And also we have another pastor who was working with us for 3 years. His name is Pancho. Pancho de la Torre. And he's back in Monterrey, and he started a mission. So we consider that mission is because of what we taught him in Tantoyuc. So pray for us. The work is too much. I was thinking about retiring in December of this year. But now that we started a Bible Institute, maybe it's going to be another 3 years before we get the first different graduates. So anyway, pray for us. Thank you very much. Now, somebody asked about projects. Yes, we do have projects. And somebody asked us about money. Yes, we do need money. And somebody said, how much? Lots of them. But anyway, God, we let God put in your heart if you want to help. Okay, let's open our Bibles to the book, because now I'm preaching. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Psalm, chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40, in verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and establish my goings. Well, the aim of this message is to be able to give you hope. Sometimes it happens into our lives, even in my own life, that we deviate from the way. The way is Christ. The road is Christ. Sometimes we come, I don't know what's the circumstances, but anyway, we deviate, we have a detour, and we go to the wrong road. Jesus said that there are two roads. One is wide, and the other is narrow. And so we need to understand that it happens. It has happened in my life, and maybe in some of your lives too. But I want to give you hope. If you are there, or you're going there, and you're thinking going into that other wide road, there's a way to come out and come back. So the psalmist says, he brought me out of the pit, horrible pit. Then after that, he says, he got me out of the miry clay. Have you been in mud? I have. You know, you're in a car and you get stuck in the mud, and then the wheels begin spinning, and you don't move. You just stay there, get stuck. I've been there. Maybe you have too. It is not a nice feeling. You feel like you're doing everything you can, but you're not advancing. It's about the same thing in a Christian life. See, we need to advance. We don't need to go back or to stay spinning the wheels. No, we need to advance. And so we take this thing that we deviate, we go to the wrong place, we go to the wrong people, we go to the wrong highway. But God is the one who brings us out of the pit and out of the muddy places where we've been. So I want you to know one thing. It is God who can make us come back to the road, come back to the highway, come back to the right road, the right door. The wide door is easy, but the narrow door is not very easy. And sometimes we get tired of being in the narrow road. People would make fun of us, and people would make a mockery out of us, and we don't like it. See, being a Christian, and I do say this with all respect, being a Christian is not only coming to church. It's a good thing you're here. Amen. Praise the Lord. However, being a Christian is out there and give a witness and suffer for Christ's sake. And many people don't like that. Well, I thought it was just nice and easy. Nope. The road is hard. It's narrow. So if you're thinking and going in the wrong way, there's a way that you can come out of it. And I'll let you know at the end of the message. Now, let's open to the book of Psalm, chapter 103. Chapter 103. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquity, who healeth all thy diseases. Notice what God does. It says here that he forgiveth all the iniquities. Pastor, preacher, I don't know. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know my sins. No, I don't. All I know is that God forgives all your iniquities. And my job here is to tell you what God says, what the Lord is saying here. It's about the same thing. Have you been in a pit? God bring you up. Have you committed iniquities? God forgives every iniquity in your life. So there's hope. Because he forgives us. Now let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3 says in verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." If you have turned from the right path to the wrong path, he can direct your life to go back to the right path. Who can? The Lord. It's not the pastor. It's not the Sunday school teacher. It's not the deacon. It's the Lord who brings us out of our iniquities, who forgives us, brings us out of the pit, out of the muddy place where we have been doing or something. He directs our doings. He changes us. So there's hope. We can come back. Now, let's go to Matthew 11 and verse 28. Now, I'm going to come to the solution. If we have been out of God's way, obviously, we went to the devil's way. If we have done that and go to the devil's way, there's a way to come back. I'm going to give you three or four elements, basic elements, to come back to the Lord. Number one, it's in verse 28 in chapter 11 of Matthew. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and lead and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Notice, Jesus is promising us rest. See, going in the wrong way, you will never have rest. You will never advance in your life, in your Christian witnesses, because you're going in the wrong way. But God says, Jesus is saying, "Come unto me." So the first step to come back is to go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. I hope you came here today to listen to Jesus, because Jesus is asking you, "Come unto me." See, he also said in another passage, "You can do nothing without me." Wow. That's why we get stuck. We don't advance because we're leaving God's way. But then he says here, "Come unto me, and I'm going to give you rest." Praise the Lord. It's like the match and the nail. I always give this illustration. The match is so weak, we can take a match and bend it very easily, especially if it is made out of wax. If it is wood, it's hard to break it, but it is made out of wax, you can break it, you can bend it very easily. But if you put the match together with a nail, 2 inches nail, and you try to bend it, you cannot. Why? Because the nail is strong. If we are together with Jesus Christ, we can come back. Nothing is going to bend us. We're going to be able to be strong and defeat the old ways, defeat the devil's ways, and go back to God's ways. See, the first thing, and then to defeat this, is that we need to come to Jesus. Now, the second thing is in Philippians chapter 3. This is Ephesians. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Notice what God says here. I'm just telling you what God says, okay? And it is up to you to make a choice. It's up to you to make the decision. Because living God's way and going to the wrong way, it's our decision. It's our election. Nothing, nobody turn our arms in the back and pull us up to go in the wrong direction. Nobody. We did it by our choice. Now, notice what was Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended it, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press forward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. First element is going to Jesus, coming to Jesus. The second is forgetting the past. One of the things that the devil does, he will bring to your mind always what you have done wrong. And then you begin to feel guilty. And then you lose dream. You cannot dream. You cannot sleep. You lose sleep out of it because you're remembering the past. You know one thing about the past? We cannot change it. It is there. It's recorded. Our past is recorded. But Jesus said that he took our sins and put it under the sea. That's what the Bible says. I don't remember. Do you remember what passage is that? He takes the sins and put it under the sea. One day, a pastor in Monterey, he wanted to accuse me of some things. And so in front of a bunch of preachers, he came and took my count to everybody. He told everybody about my sins. He wanted to kill my testimony. And one of the other pastors stood up and said, "Well, are you a deep sea diver?" "No." "Well, God says that he puts all our sins into the sea. How come you brought those sins back up?" You know, so everybody was standing there, and I didn't say anything. I just let it go. But that's the past. We cannot do anything to change it. But one thing we can do is to learn from the past and try not to commit the same mistakes all over again and again and again. Forget the past. Keep pressing. So that's two things. Number one, get closer to Jesus. Number two, forget the past and keep going. Turn the page. Turn the chapter and say, punto y aparte, ¿cómo se dice?
Start a new page.
Yes, that's it. Another thing we could do is in 1 John chapter 1. In verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not have the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And he and his blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Notice here, the third thing we need to do is to confess our sin. One time I was preaching about this message here, and I told the guys, and I told everybody, you know, if you have sin in your life, just admit it and confess it, and then leave from it. If I confess my sin to God, what is he going to do? He says he's faithful to forgive me And not only that, he says he forgives my sin when I confess them. And then he cleans my soul from all impurity. What does he do? He forgives and he cleanses us. Very easy. And I get criticized many times. And this, well, people say, Pastor Juan says that just confess your sin and that's it. Is there any other way to get our sins forgiven? Just confess them. Just like that. You know, Lord, I had a bad thought today. I envy somebody. I covet something. Just say it and say, God, I've been doing this. I agree with you, and please forgive my sin. He will forgive you and clean you. Why do I say that? Because it is here. I didn't write it. I didn't write it. And you need to trust in what God says. That's one of the things that we need to do. Trust in the Lord. And lean not into your own understanding. Go to him. Go to the Bible. That would be, that's another element, basic element to leave the bad road, the bad highway. But there's another thing we could do. That's the fourth. And with this, I'll finish. I'm going to give you the time for invitation, Pastor. In chapter 3, in James chapter 3, verse 8 says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewithin cause a man which are made of after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth, is that the one I want? I don't think so. 13. Okay, 13. Sorry. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let he show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not. And lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is unearthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceful, peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without particularly and without hypocrisy. The first element, the fourth element, is seek wisdom. Not only seek wisdom, ask God to give you wisdom, because He is the one that gives us wisdom. To leave the bad road, to leave the bad highway, we need wisdom. Wisdom from above, who is pure, full of mercy. And so, there's hope. If you have been in that way, I don't know, I have a guy in Tantoyuca who was in church for 2 years. Then he went to the world, and he was in the world for 38 years. 38 years. God forgave him. He came back to the church. God forgave him. But the consequences are there. If we're wise, we want to think twice before we do something or say something that's wrong. Because we're going to have consequences. Asking David, he had consequences. Ask Jonah, the prophet. He was God's prophet, but he was rebellious against God's commandment. So, are you stubborn? Are you rebellious? Have you hurt God and disobey him on purpose? Well, there's a way to come back. Get closer to Christ. Forget the past. And ask for forgiveness. And ask wisdom. Four little things, four little words. And then you'll be back. And God will be glorified. That's the thing. If we will do that, then God is going to be glorified. And we will be in the right path. He directs our paths. So trust him and trust the word of God and obey whatever God tells you. God speaks to the heart. The preacher speaks to our ears, but God speaks to the heart. If God has called you to do something today, make a choice, a wisely choice to come back. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Juan.